for individuals. Support Anderson House. Support the community. Be a golfer, sponsor, or donate to the live and silent auctions to raise funds. Go to AndersonHouse.org. Contact Laura Rollins at 908-534-5818, extension 207, or email them at events@AndersonHouse.org for more information. This program, I had an affiliation with them years ago, and one of the most amazing things about it is that it's not the same as the old 12-step program. It's not the same as getting them out there and getting them on a timetable. They stay until they're ready to go, and they work hard to get them to be ready to go, and that's the real important thing, because you can't put everybody on a timetable. Each patient or person is different, and they need more help or less help depending on what they're doing, and so that's the key. All right, we have to get on out of here. It's been my pleasure to be with you, as I am every weekday morning, 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. I'll be back again tomorrow morning, same time. I thank you to Al War and Michelle Heidi for their contributions to the show. Vincent Arlino says, never say you should have. Well, we have community days that go on. We have the Vietnam War Memorial. We have the Shad Fest continuing. We have the book fair going on today. Time to get involved with the community, folks. And enjoy yourself and be around folks that want to help their own community. That's the key to living a well life, healthy and wise. We'll be back tomorrow. Thank you for listening to Good Morning Hunterman on Huntshiver Radio Canada.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with John DeMaster.
In Seattle, at least 5 officers injured, 9 people arrested after May Day protests take a turn for the worse. Police say protesters in downtown Seattle throwing rocks, flares.
USA Radio News with John DeMaster.
In Seattle, at least 5 officers injured, 9 people arrested after May Day protests take a turn for the worse. Police say protesters in downtown Seattle throwing rocks, flares, bricks, and Molotov cocktails at officers. Meantime, May Day demonstrators in Los Angeles take aim at Donald Trump. Hundreds take to the streets in L.A. to celebrate workers' rights as well as immigration issues. Some marchers carrying signs reading, "Dump Trump." Turning now to politics, Donald Trump says a win in the Indiana primary Tuesday will signal the end of the race for the Republican presidential nomination.
Cruz cannot win. He's got no highway. He's got nothing. He's way behind. I'm leading him by millions and millions of votes, and I'm leading him by 400 or 500 delegates. He can't win.
He tells Fox News Sunday that while he believes the race is already over, a victory Tuesday means Texas Senator Ted Cruz has no chance to win. This is USA Radio News.
Have you been to conservativetribune.com? Now, this is one of the most visited news sites in the entire world, and the reason is simple. Conservativetribune.com delivers edgy and bold commentary of the news. They're unapologetically pro-America, unabashedly conservative. At conservativetribune.com, they don't make apologies for who they are or what they say. And if you're looking for more than just boring stories and simple thought, you go to conservativetribune.com. That's conservativetribune.com. Have you been to USARadio.com? The latest breaking stories, the hottest news, and the best radio all in one place. It's available for free on your smartphone, on your computer, and you can listen with your Bluetooth-enabled car. You can listen to classic radio theater, Daybreak USA with Angie Austin, and my new show that takes you from online to on-air, your news feed on the radio, Trending Today USA with Rusty Humphrey. Check it out, USARadio.com. That's USARadio.com.
Well, voters in Indiana are the next to go to the primary polls. USA Radio's Chris Barnes has a preview from Washington.
Cruz has to win Indiana, or else this thing is going to be over pretty quickly.
That's Dr. Sean Foreman of Barry University stressing the importance of tomorrow's Indiana primary to the Cruz campaign. Foreman saying that while Carly Fiorina as his running mate could bring in some votes in that state, it could also backfire because of the similarities between Fiorina and Cruz.
The people who would be Fiorina voters already are going for Cruz over Trump. So I'm just not sure that she adds anything more other than reinforcing what Cruz stands for.
The latest NBC News Wall Street Journal poll showing Donald Trump leading by double digits in Indiana. The race much tighter on the Democratic side, with Hillary Clinton leading Bernie Sanders there by a 50 to 46% margin. In Washington for USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Get more news online at usaradio.com.
I'm Russ Jones, USA Radio News Director. My team and I are passionate about bringing you the best news product you can find on the radio. While we aren't biased, we are unabashedly American. With news bureaus across the nation and even Israel, we deliver news and sports 24 hours a day. If you miss the news at the top of the hour, make sure you check us out on the web at usaradio.com. That's usaradio.com.
CIA Director John Brennan says the U.S. faces a unique challenge in the fight against ISIS.
This is a large, not just organization, it's a phenomenon. We see it not just in Syria and Iraq, we see it in Libya, Nigeria, and other countries.
Brennan tells NBC's Meet the Press the best way to fight ISIS is to take out its leadership. He said killing the terror group's number one leader, Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, would have a tremendous impact on the terror group and made a prediction about getting ISIS.
We will destroy ISIL, I have no doubt in my mind, and we have to remove the leadership that directs that organization to carry out these horrific attacks.
In Cleveland, they are working to stop a toxic blob from contaminating the city's water supply. The two-square-mile blob of toxic sediment is migrating towards the shoreline, and tests say it's dangerously close to a water intake pipe. Army Sergeant Bo Bergdahl's court-martial being allowed to proceed. An appeals court has lifted the stay of proceedings that it issued in early February after prosecutors disagreed with how much access the defense could have to classified information. Bergdahl's charged with desertion and misbehavior before the enemy. It is Kentucky Derby week at historic Churchill Downs. The first leg of horse racing's Triple Crown takes place on Saturday with the 142nd Run for the Roses. Last year, American Pharoah became just the 12th horse in history and first since affirmed in 1978 to win the Kentucky Derby, Preakness Stakes, and Belmont Stakes all in the same year. This is USA Radio News.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Local weather here at HuntertonChamberRadio.com. 49 degrees outside right now. Slight chance of showers today, Flemington area. Otherwise cloudy, high in the 60s. Showers tonight after midnight, low in the 50s. Tuesday showers, high in the 60s. Looks like rain again Tuesday night, low in the upper 40s. More of the same. Looks like Wednesday
and Thursday and Friday. Slight chance of showers each day. Stay tuned for Chef Bill's Table.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program, no drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
Good morning. Welcome to the table. Chef Bill here. Getting ready to set up the week for a big dining celebration this week. The chef here locally in Flemington, Jake's Restaurant. Of course, most restaurants look forward to Mother's Day. Big day. Big day to prepare for, anyway. Most people will take mom or grandmom or even a good excuse for a family meal, although there are a lot of activities still going on. There's sports activities and religious activities, so maybe that's another reason why people just don't have the time to prepare a nice meal at home. But it says, ever since I've been in the business, Mother's Day has always been a full day. And let's see what else this week. Food holidays. Today is truffles, which most people won't taste the savory truffle, the little fungus there, very aromatic. Chocolate truffles, on the other hand, which are rolled in cocoa powder, little shapes of chilled ganache, rolled in cocoa powder to look like a dark truffle. Raspberry tart tomorrow. We'll actually look how to make a raspberry pie. Little berries should be coming out soon in the northeast. Hopefully we get some warm weather first. Seem to have enough water. We had to get some sunny days here. Let's see. Oh, the 6th, we celebrate no diets. There's probably a couple of other things celebrated that day, but that's the day that we don't worry about our diets. I guess it's been long enough since the New Year's resolutions, and it's now, of course, getting ready for the summer, kind of in between here. We'll talk about maybe a nice, I guess superfoods would be a correct term, to a nice vegetable bowl that we're working on at the restaurant. Something to provide proteins, and also something that can be adapted to any food sensitivities. And let's see, 7th roast leg of lamb, which would be a nice actual dinner for Mother's Day. We're going to do a rack of pork. We had lamb on Easter. I always like on holidays like this to have an extra roast. Always, of course, have prime rib at the restaurant, and many places will have buffets, which is a way of course, you've got to handle extra people expeditiously, and sometimes the buffet works the best. We don't do it. We believe, of course, that mom should be served. And if you do happen to go to a buffet, let mom relax and offer to go up and fix a plate for her. And the 8th, coconut cream pie. So, Mother's Day, brunch or dinner? Which one are we going to do? Brunch would be nice, and again, it looks like the weather, at least around here, is going to be a little overcast, so it might not be a huge day for outdoor activities, but brunch is certainly a nice meal to have. Of course, with people still on work schedules, it's not really, there's no Monday holiday to kind of relax afterwards on. So brunch oftentimes seems to be the meal, which is kind of nice because you get your morning activities done. You may have something very, very light early in the morning and then have your main meal. It could be 1 o'clock, even as late as 2 o'clock. And that lends itself to, of course, tradition. I mean, when we were growing up, of course, Sunday dinner would be the main meal after church and other activities. But oftentimes on celebration days, we would have brunch. And I always wondered, oh, what's the difference between brunch and lunch and breakfast? And I guess the main thing we can come up with is brunch, because basically like a lunch, but you always have some breakfast food available. And it's kind of nice. You can have a nice variety of things. The neat thing about it is, of course, if you're using eggs as your main event, or at least one of the main events, eggs are relatively quick to cook. It's not like doing a 2 or 3 hour roast, and they cook up pretty quickly, even for a crowd. Have all your other things ready. Eggs Benedict comes to mind. We'd like to explore that and some variations and walk you through a classic hollandaise and even variations on that. If you can master that sauce, it's one of, when we have our culinary classes, of course, one of the mother sauces, and there's many variations of that. Of course, emulsified sauces, think of mayonnaise, which is huge, very popular on the cold side, but on the warm side, we have the hollandaise. I never cared for it when I was younger. I would just melt cheese over poached eggs on a ham and a muffin. And then, of course, in the early 70s, McDonald's came up with, a franchisee came up with the Egg McMuffin, which is kind of a rough takeoff on that in a sandwich form, and there you have it, one of the popular dishes forever. So the combination works. So Eggs Benedict is, if you're preparing that, and there's variations even on Eggs Benedict. We normally think of it as an English muffin and Canadian bacon or ham and poached egg and hollandaise. And I was, again, I thought, wow, you're making an egg sauce to go on egg. And you're poaching an egg with no fat, and then you have a hollandaise sauce that is nothing but egg yolk and butter. It's got the whole, I guess that's what makes it work, right? So, again, variations. If you Canadian bacon, very tough. I mean, most of the time, what I see in the stores, of course, it's a round disc, and it's you know, formulated. It's real meat, but also kind of formed to make a uniform shape. I would rather look for something that was more shaped like the pork loin. It would be kind of more of an oval, or like a rounded rectangle, if you will. Something, if you think of a boneless pork loin cut across. We've had a couple of times on this show a way to make your own. You could make it from pork tenderloin or pork loin, but brine it and smoke it or even roast it. When I do my brine, one of the little tricks, you can put a little bit of liquid smoke in there to flavor it and then roast it slowly and still have a very good effect if you wanted to make your own. And that's something, of course, that could be done ahead, and you can use your little homemade ham for other things. But looking for that real Canadian bacon, of course, it'll be more money than regular bacon, and it's very lean. And in lieu of that, of course, a very good ham, and not a water added. It might even be beneficial to roast a ham off ahead of time and chill it down. For some reason, that does change the flavor, even though the hams are ready to eat. Oftentimes we like to roast them, or even you'll saute it a little bit just to get out, concentrate some of the flavor, get a little caramelization going on. We've got a break for a couple of messages here, and we'll make some hollandaise and some Eggs Benedict, look at a quinoa brown rice bowl, and hopefully a raspberry pie. Chef Bill's Table.
The sub above difference is substantial. After all, the Giant got its name for a reason. It ain't little. Jersey Mike's. Be a sub above.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their Chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the Chamber.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Home Instead Senior Care. It's our passionate dedication to creating personal relationships between our clients and our caregivers. Visit our website at www.homeinstead.com/325.
You've got a friend.
Back at the table here, Eric and me. So Eggs Benedict. So again, we got the important, of course, the egg, the Canadian bacon, or nice smoked ham, and the hollandaise sauce. It's simple enough, and some people choose to make maybe a vegetarian version with some spinach, or even artichoke, egg sardou would be in the artichoke bottom, as I recall. If you're doing spinach, of course, you want to wash it, blanch it first, meaning in hot water. Let the leaves wilt, get it cooked a little bit, chill in some cold water, and then squeeze it dry, chop it, and then you're going to saute it. And we saute many times when we warm vegetables up. We have, of course, in a restaurant, we're cooking many vegetables to order. You'll have the vegetables blanched and ready to go, and we use a little chicken broth, unless somebody, of course, is vegetarian, they can't have it. But chicken broth, even bouillon, is a great, what we call liquid salt. It adds, not obviously, a little bit of flavor, but instead of trying to salt something, and maybe you'll, you know, get a little bit of too much, a little pocket of salt somewhere if things aren't stirred up enough, chicken broth, and you can use candy, actually want it to be a little salty, is a way to season your vegetables, that and a little bit of butter or oil, and you can bring your vegetables back very nicely. The muffin, of course, and I like the fork split ones. I like to even, not even cut them with a knife, I like to kind of tear them apart so you get all the nooks and crannies, and you toast the muffin like we make toast. Again, the toasters work fine. You want to do it slowly. You want to get the muffin crunchy. You don't want it just browned and then mushy on the inside. Some people even choose to make their own English muffins. It is a bread that would work. It's actually griddled first and then split and toasted again. Some people like a nice sourdough. You get all the big bubbles in there from the fermentation. So, nice thing about Bendix, going to get your components ready, Canadian bacon or ham, as I said, a crab cake, oftentimes you'll see that, even if you did, say, asparagus spears and tomato, maybe. And, of course, I would take the tomatoes, not really in season up here yet, I would take the slices and actually cook them a little bit, either roast them or saute them to try to get some of the moisture out and concentrate the flavor. So poaching eggs, a lot of times people have egg poachers, and they are this little receptacle where you butter it and put the egg in. It's kind of steams the egg, which is very good, holds its shape nicely. It's very easy to do. You could bake the eggs in a ramekin in the oven with maybe a dash of cream is always nice if you want something a little bit different. Again, it will then hold the round shape. But poaching, very easy. You want a wide pan to do this, not a deep one. You want a wide one that's a little shallow. You want to be able to put a couple of inches of water in it naturally. A big skillet probably would work best. And get your water to boil. Always add some vinegar, a tablespoon or so of vinegar, maybe two or three. You don't want to pickle the eggs, but the acid, I've used lemon juice also, if it's fresh lemon juice that has some good acid to it. But vinegar is the easiest way. It helps set the egg whites, sets that protein. And also a little bit of salt in there will do it, vinegar and salt. Now, the eggs, you want very fresh eggs for poached eggs, because that albumin, the white, is much stronger. As an egg sits in storage, of course, it's still good, but that protein kind of breaks down. If you've ever cracked an egg for a sunny side up or a fried egg and the white just seems to fill the whole pan up, that's an older egg. Now, those eggs are great for boiling, for hard boiling, because they're easy to peel. So if you have, we always like to use the older eggs for hard boiled and then the freshest eggs for cooking breakfast. So you want good fresh egg, and could be at room temperature is probably better. You're going to get quicker recovery time when you drop them in the water. You have the water at a good boil. Now, some recipes call for breaking the egg and just sliding it into the water. What I always like to do is break the egg into a small dish, whether it's a little fruit dish or a little one of those little clear custard bowls. Like to break the egg into the dish first for a couple of reasons. If a piece of shell gets in there, if the yolk breaks by any chance, of course you don't want to dump that in the water. You will save that egg for something else. Once in a while you see a little red spot there. Of course, I haven't seen that really in years. Inspection of eggs now is pretty good before they get to market. So haven't seen when we were getting eggs from the local farmer, that chance might happen. Guess some got through the candling process there. So I like to break them in a dish. And if you're doing several, of course, line the dishes up and slide the egg into the water. Now, as you do this, you need a slotted spoon. And you should also, if you're doing them ahead, have a bowl of ice water handy. And as soon as you slide the egg into the water, you'll take the slotted spoon, kind of flip the egg over, and it will wrap the white around the yolk. That's what you want. You want to protect that yolk so it stays soft inside. Another way I do is I call it the vortex method, and this you'd only do a couple at a time. For this, I would use actually a taller saucepan, and you'll slowly get the water swirling in a circular motion, just like if it was going down the drain. And you put the egg in there one at a time, and of course in the middle of that swirl, that swirl kind of helps the white wrap around the yolk. You get a nice little football shape. A little more labor intense. You're doing one or two at a time, but you get a nice result. But if you have your wide skillet, you can maybe, you're going to do about six or eight eggs, probably at the most. Once the eggs are in the water, you don't want the water boiling hard. It's going to break them up. It's too much. The eggs cook at a very low temperature. You're just kind of simmering them. And you check them just by touch. You want the yolk to still be soft, if that's your preference. I don't know if anybody would want a hard-cooked egg poached, then you might as well boil it. But what you can do is actually, if you're doing a lot of them, you can do them ahead. And when they're cooked, the white is set, yolk's still runny, you can slide them easily into ice water. Now, at this point, when you're ready, you can just put them back in warm water and heat them up. We used to do this in hotels when we had to make, you know, dozens and dozens of orders of poached eggs. You're not standing there doing those. You're feeding 300 or 400 or 500 people. You're not doing those to order. You would, the night before, the egg cook would be working on a back stove somewhere, just getting those ready to go and get you through the rush. So your eggs you could actually have done ahead and then reheat. Now your hollandaise, of course, you need more eggs. And the simplest one, now you see there's blender hollandaise where you get the butter very hot and drizzled into the egg yolks to emulsify. It's really, it's an emulsion. It's fat and water. Same way if you were making mayonnaise. So if you have 4 egg yolks, that would be good for about a stick or so of butter. Now, we like to use clarified butter. Why is that? It's because the whole butter is about 20% milk solids and water. It's not all fat. So what happens, we used to clarify the butter, and we save the little that whey that comes off of there. Using clarified butter makes a very, very thick hollandaise, and then you can add some of the whey or milk solids if you like to thin it back out to the texture you want or the consistency you want. So what I do is I start with, you know, you've got to cook your egg yolks. I always put a little water in there to create some steam. Egg yolks are very fragile. If you heat them too much, of course, they're going to curdle and scramble. Most recommend doing this over a simmering water bath, which is fine. I like to use a stainless steel bowl and a good balloon whisk, not a heavy roux whisk, but something very light like you would whip cream or egg whites with. And you need to, you know, stand there and you have to whisk it. You want to cook the egg yolks with a little of the water and until they're thick, kind of custard-like. And what you do is I'll go off and on the heat. Sometimes I've even done them over direct heat if you're doing it very quickly. Of course, you have to watch it. But once your egg yolk is thickened up, then what we like to do is with the clarified butter, we actually work off the heat with this. I had a student a few weeks ago. He was working over the simmering water. And, of course, what happens is you'll start to see the butter separate. The eggs will, the sauce is what is called breaking. Now, if the eggs curdle, like small scrambled eggs, of course, you have to start over. But if you find the sauce breaking a little bit, you can always start the emulsion over and rescue it. But we drizzle in the clarified butter slowly, and again, off the heat. You can always warm the sauce back up over the water bath, but off the heat gives you a little bit better control of making the emulsion. We add a little dry mustard, usually in cayenne, lemon juice. After you've got your emulsion made, it should be look like a real thick yellow mayonnaise. Add your acid. If the sauce seems to be breaking early on, sometimes you can throw an ice cube in there. It just, you know, means it's getting too hot. Or even add some of the lemon juice early on. So you have like, it looks like a real thick mayonnaise. Add your lemon juice seasoning and then a little bit of the whey solids, milk solids if you like, if you want it thinner. And then, of course, with the lemon juice, now we worry about the undercooked yolks and the salmonella and pretty much the eggs nowadays are, you know, most of them, they're, you know, you just, I don't want to say guaranteed, but you're not going to have that issue. The acid environment will slow the growth of bacteria, however, and you do have to worry. You can't hold a hollandaise for 3 or 4 hours. You know, it's just not that safe, but you may keep it in a warm. Sometimes I wrap it with a warm towel or in a thermos. The thermos is actually the best way because it holds the temperature just like with coffee and doesn't heat it anymore. It'll keep it nicely for a while. So when you have your hollandaise, now variations on the hollandaise, of course, you could do if you want a béarnaise sauce, instead of the lemon juice, we use tarragon. We make a tea with the tarragon vinegar, some shallots and peppercorns, and actually some chopped tarragon. We want to reduce that till it's almost a glaze, very thick. And you would season your hollandaise with that, and then some fresh chopped tarragon and parsley. Some people like, you know, you could make a mock hollandaise. If you're not sure, if you don't really want the all the butter, you could make a bechamel, a light white sauce with your milk, or half and half even. And then simply add some egg yolks to enrich it. You'll get a little bit of the color. It'll, you know, it'll help thicken a little bit more. You'll get the richness without of the egg yolk without all the butter. Another way, too, would be to make a custard, a simple custard, now like we make for pastry cream, a creme anglaise. But instead of making it sweet, make it savory. You could use egg yolks to thicken your milk and or cream. And again, not have all the butter in there. And this we do by what we call as a liaison. You have your, you heat up your milk or cream. Have your egg yolks off to the side. Of course, you're going to beat them till they're smooth. And then add a little bit of the hot milk and cream mixture to that egg yolk. Not too much. You just want to bring up the temperature a little bit, similar to what you were doing by cooking the egg yolks over the stove for a hollandaise. So you get that egg yolk mixture with some of the cream or milk in it. Then you're able to put it back in the hot milk and slowly bring it to just a simmer. Again, you don't want the, even though you want it to, you don't want to boil, you just want little bubbles to start occurring. And stirring it, you know, you will see it thicken up. So that's another way. A liaison is another way to thicken a sauce. And then a sabayon, or a zabaglione, as the Italians would use, either spelled with an S or a Z, is a wine custard. And I've made it, of course, normally it's associated with dessert. You make it with marsala and sugar. I have made a savory one for fish using white wine and no sugar. You could certainly use this technique to make a thickened custard. Again, this would be cooked over the water bath with your liquid and your egg yolks and season it the way you want. Again, it eliminates the butter in there. You're still getting richness from the egg yolks, but it's not quite as heavy. So there are other options for your hollandaise. We've got a break for news, and we'll be back at the table. Chef Bill.
USA Radio News with John DeMaster.
If Cruz ever got lucky, and he can't, but if he ever got lucky and got the nomination, he will be sued immediately. He won't be allowed to run.
Donald Trump says he doesn't think Texas Senator Ted Cruz is eligible to run for president. The Republican presidential frontrunner saying his rival would face legal challenges that would keep him off the ballot. Talking about Heidi Cruz's immigrant flub during an address to supporters in Indiana.
Heidi Cruz, nice woman, said, my husband, you heard about this, right? Said this morning, my husband's an immigrant, right? Is an immigrant. And that's what I've been saying.
At least five Seattle police officers injured, nine people arrested when May Day protests turned violent. Police say protesters in downtown Seattle threw rocks, flares, bricks, and Molotov cocktails at officers. This is USA Radio News, powered by USARadio.com.
Hey, it's Rusty Humphreys, host of Trending Today USA, where we feature the biggest and the best and the brightest trending stories in the world. One of the places I go first every single day is WesternJournalism.com. Chris Agee's here. He's the managing editor of WesternJournalism.com. What makes WesternJournalism.com so special?
Well, Rusty, I think it is very special. We bring you the news as it actually happens. We're one of the places that you can come for the facts, and they're backed up by what's actually happening out there.
You know, a lot of websites, they deal in rumor and innuendo. You guys are really dealing in journalism, is that right?
Right. Oh, absolutely. And there's no question that we're going to bring you pro-American news. I mean, we're going to bring you stuff that makes you proud of the freedoms that we have. And we back up the Constitution every step of the way, but that doesn't influence our reporting. Our reporting is the truth, is 100% accurate.
Make sure you check it out. One of the best websites in the world, WesternJournalism.com. That's WesternJournalism.com.
If I could reach the stars,
All right, we're back at the table here. So our eggs Benedicts, we're finishing it off. So you have your toasted muffins. We have our eggs, which you could cook ahead or cook as you need them. Your hollandaise sauce is made. And, of course, your garnish, which would be your ham or Canadian bacon or your spinach or even a crab cake would be nice for a seafood version of it. Or the, again, seasonal, I mean, do that, some cooked asparagus spears would be another option. Put your egg, you know, your muffin down, your garnish, your egg, and then your sauce, and there you have it. Nice eggs Benedict, good, elegant brunch. Again, you could do it all at once, you can do it in stages, but it would be a nice treat anytime. I think that's the quintessential dish people look for, is a eggs Benedict or a version thereof. Now the quinoa bowl, and I don't know, I've been thinking about something for a while. I just wanted a vegetarian dish. This one actually turns out to be vegan also, but something, you know, we always go Asian, go with a stir fry, or some people do a vegetable platter, which, you know, I think years ago we did one with, and actually some people enjoyed it. It wasn't on the menu, but we would do some steamed vegetables. But of course, then we got to, Americans, we got to throw some cheese on it, right? It's not good enough to have vegetables. We have to throw cheese on it. That kind of ties everything together, I guess. I mean, it was, again, it was a nice combination. We had people that, it was, even though it wasn't on the menu, so it was a favorite. But, you know, I always think we can do better. And as a person who's not strictly a vegetarian, and I think we make that mistake, we try to make vegetable dishes that remind us or taste like meat. And I'm realizing, stupid, you know, a lot of people like vegetables because they like the taste of vegetables. They just do not like the taste of meat. And therefore, something that we're working so hard as chefs to be like a meat substitute really should just stand on its own. And with the amounts of nice grains and actual products out there that are complete proteins, we don't need to go for, you know, textured soy protein, these additions to get there. We can actually, a vegetarian diet, you have to know your nutritional makeup of your food, but the combination rice and beans, peanut butter and whole wheat bread, you know, you need to get your complete proteins and those vitamins that are, go along with that. But something like quinoa, which now is available, complete protein, edamames are complete protein. We've got our other superfoods. So what we did was we made a quinoa pilaf, and in that pilaf, of course, we do, you could use a vegetable broth, I guess. What I do is just take some, what we call the mirepoix, the onions, carrots, and celery, diced very small, call it brunoise, cut in classical kitchen, very small as you can dice them, or even the carrots, you could shred them if you like. But we saute that first, releases that vegetable flavor, and then add the quinoa and the water. It's a 2-to-1 ratio, just like rice. Very, most grains are fairly simple as far as that goes. Make sure the water, you put some salt and pepper in there. Just like with rice, you want salt flavor early on. It's hard to salt it afterwards. And cover it and simmer it. When it's done, you've got your vegetables in there flavoring. And actually, I've done it in the past where maybe toward the end, put some chopped spinach in there if you like. Give it a little bit more flavor. So we have the quinoa, and that's done, set aside. And also just a nice brown rice. Just salted water. And cook the rice the 30, 35 minutes, however long it takes, depending on, you know, if it's something like a commercial brand or if it's an organic. You know, sometimes the brown rice might take a little longer to cook. But you've got now those extra nutrients there. The simple brown rice cooked. Now, of course, in a restaurant, we're going to chill this down and mix the two together. So quinoa is very dense. It's very good, but it's, you know, it's expensive and it's very dense. It's hard to, you look at half a cup and you think, wow, that's not very much. But really, I mean, there's a lot of nutrients there. But we need to stretch it out a little bit with the brown rice, a different texture, that nutty flavor. Very good. So I took, you want another good power pack food, sweet potatoes. So I peeled some sweet potatoes and cut those into, you could cut like a large, almost like a large French fry wedge, if you like, or a large, I cut them actually across first so they weren't too long. And I made a mixture of olive oil and salt and pepper, and I used a little cumin and powdered ginger. Powdered ginger is something we kind of forget about. I use it, I sneak it into things that people wouldn't think that would be there. It's got still that, like, little heat to it, and that little, I don't want to say, I guess you'd say citrus, the aroma. Without doing the cinnamon nutmeg route that most people do, the ginger, you know something's there, but you really don't know quite what it is. So I make this seasoned oil and toss the sweet potato sticks in there, 425, 450 degree oven, spread them out on a sheet pan, single layer, and roast them. You know, I check them every 7 minutes, turn them. You don't want them fully cooked because, again, when you assemble, unless you're making all this right for dinner that evening, these could be done ahead and chilled down. And then just brought back in the oven. So you have your roasted sweet potatoes. Now, kale, another what we call the superfoods there. Kale, I got the green kale. Of course, de-stem it. The stems are pretty rough. And we do the cooking, actually. Some people with salads will say you massage it in the dressing, kind of break it down a little bit. We chose to boil it in salted water, just like broccoli, Rob. You need a little bit of salt in that water because it's bitter. And cook it till it's tender. Could be 5 or 6 minutes at a simmer. And then we drained it and shocked it with the cold water because we were going to, again, steam it again later. Going to have, again, kale done ahead. And we chopped it up, squeeze out the water, chop it up. But you want to make sure it's tender because otherwise kale, it's not that pleasant to keep chewing and chewing. Some simple steamed broccoli, which you could use the florets, or you could use, if you get the whole broccoli, you could, you leave some stem on, and then what we like to do is peel the stems, the tender parts, and then slice them crosswise into little circles. Or you could do sticks, if you like, and also cook those so you get full use out of your broccoli. Mushrooms, for just a contrast, you get a little umami going in there. The shiitakes were nice. Of course, a mix of the sometimes you can get a sliced medley. Regular mushrooms, if you like. I thought the shiitakes would be nice, and I sliced them fairly in thick slices, not really thin, so I want them to have a little texture left. And when I sautéed the shiitakes, I used canola oil, but I also added a little bit of minced shallot, get that little onion flavor. You could use a little scallion if you like, and salt and pepper. And when the mushrooms just start to cook, I added a little white wine and lemon juice. Gives it a little acid, helps keep the color lighter. Whenever you're sautéing mushrooms, it'll keep them from getting too brown. And of course, for flavor. So we have your sautéed shiitakes. And then a tahini sauce tied it all together. Now, I saw this was a kind of a popular combination if you search recipes. And I said, well, there must be a reason for it. And it really does work. All the nice foods. You can vary the vegetables if you like. But you want a sauce to tie it together. And we chose a tahini sauce, the sesame paste. Same thing if you're making falafel. You buy the tahini and thin it out with some water. So thin it out with some water, some lemon juice. I did add a little bit of honey and a little bit of actually toasted sesame oil. And then your flavorings. I use just seasonings instead of raw vegetables. So a little garlic and onion powder. Again, cumin, ground coriander, salt and pepper. And whisk it together. Again, go by your taste. You want a little cayenne pepper if you want some heat in there. And it makes a nice, it almost reminds you of a cold noodle sauce. It should be, pourable, but, a little thick. And that we have off to the side. So putting the bowl together, we have the two pilafs mixed together. And then the nice thing with the bowls is you can arrange the vegetables on top. Now, if your vegetables are all hot, this is how you would present it. A little bit, you know, your four vegetables and have the sauce drizzled over to combine it. If you're making ahead, you could steam it back if you like. This is what we do in the restaurant. We have the components ready, and then when it's ready to serve, we have to, of course, get it up to temperature, and then we would steam it. And a little garnish I did, too, was fried chickpeas. And I'm going to experiment with those. That might be a good bar snack. But I cooked some from dried, or you could use canned, but you want to drain them very well. The advantage to cooking them from dried is as soon as they're cooked, you drain them and spread them out on a sheet pan. You want them to dry a little bit. And then I, again, heated canola oil, and you start to saute them. Some people deep fry them. But in the canola oil, again, some smoked paprika or regular paprika and some cayenne and salt. And cook them until they're crunchy. And then you've got a nice little crunchy garnish for your vegetable bowl. And I think this method of serving just... even this summer when there's other than the corn and all the summer vegetables come in, some nice combinations could be done. Instead of a casserole where everything is all mixed together, and of course easy to do, one pot meals, this way you treat each vegetable differently. You roast some, you might fry some, you might saute or steam, and then serve them together. So you have the different textures, you have the different flavors. Not everything is mixed together and being homogeneous. You can actually have the distinct flavors of the vegetables. We've got a break for a couple of messages. We'll be back at the table.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters of Weikert Realtors. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime. And selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 in Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technology to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunting Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunting Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingChamberRadio.com app today.
The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is proud to present HuntertonChamberRadio.com. All business, all talk, all community. Bringing you local news, information, events, and informative programming. Proudly serving the businesses and residents of Hunterdon County, New Jersey.
Hi, I'm Pat Smits, Law Offices of Patricia Garrity Smits, LLC. The Hunterdon Chamber is a great resource to find the best local business people and meet new friends.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce. Building business, one business at a time.
All right, we're back at the table here. Winding down, another hour went fast. Oh, so next thing, raspberry tart. See, that's the third tomorrow. Raspberry tart day. So we're on these tarts with these fruits, and I think we've had done it before on the show. Frangipane, when you use the almond, ground almond, custard type thing that's baked. You have a tart shell, an open-faced tart, usually with the fluted edge, and you blind bake that, and then you have your frangipane, your custard, that gets baked, and then your fruit goes on top. Nice fresh raspberries. You can do a little glaze if you like, but normally that would be, you know, one version of it. There's a lemon custard you could make. Again, a mixture, pastry cream, thickened like we talked before with, you know, some egg. And some of them there is some flour or starch in there. So, but the raspberry pie, when years ago, Mirror Lake Inn up in Lake Placid, still a famous, popular independent up there, still run by the same family I worked for. And my baker had a raspberry pie, and we had it year-round. She would use frozen raspberries, and I would actually have to buy the little retail size 1-pound containers. And what they were was frozen raspberries. And, of course, when you defrost them, they throw off their juice. They weren't sugared. It wasn't a pie filling. It was just plain frozen raspberries. Advantage to that, I guess, is, of course, you do want them, the texture softens, so the freezing does that. And they're picked at the peak of ripeness. Sometimes you find raspberries, you know, especially in the winter, you don't, they're coming from southern hemisphere. They've made a long trip, and sometimes they're not much much flavor to them. So we did a pie, and it was a two-crust pie. It became kind of a signature thing with that warm raspberry pie. And Nellie, her name was Nellie Cobain, she would make her pie pastry with shortening and a little margarine. So it wasn't that full flaky one. It was a little bit richer. Very nice pie dough. So you have your, whatever your favorite is, you have, it's a two-crust pie. Her starch of choice for thickening was tapioca. So it stayed clear, and then, of course, you're baking it again. Some people, you know, a lot of the fillings use a cornstarch, or when you see that term modified food starch, I think there's one called Coleflow, there's Purity 69, there's many of them, especially with frozen foods that will not break down in that quick freezing and then reheating process. Sometimes if you might notice if you freeze a sauce and then you defrost it, that this kind of breaks a little bit or thins out. The modified starches are just that. They're not, doesn't mean they're chemicals. It means they're the types of starches, arrowroot, natural substance, good, thickens, clear. You want your, especially with desserts, you want your thickened liquid to be kind of clear. You don't want it opaque like a gravy. So she would drain the juice off the raspberries, and then, of course, you add your sugar, sweeten it enough, and thicken it. She would do the slurry with the tapioca. We could certainly use cornstarch or arrowroot. And then the sauce would be thick and seasoned. If you like a little lemon zest, whatever, she wouldn't tell me exactly what she put in there. All she would tell me was it thickened with tapioca. And really with raspberries, I mean, you don't need much more. Just make sure they're sweet. You know, you could maybe reinforce with a little vanilla, or if you want a little brandy or something in there. But cool off the sauce a little bit. And when it was fairly cool, she would fold in the raspberries that were, you know, that she had strained the juice from, so they still had some texture to them. So even though they're frozen, they were still kind of like a crushed, you know, the freezing process kind of breaks down the fruits and the vegetables a little bit. So it was a good texture for a pie. And then, of course, baking the pie didn't take that long. The filling is already cooked, so it's not like a raw apple or blueberry pie where you're waiting to cook the fruit. You could cook the pie very quickly, and just to get the crust browned. And when you know, you cut your slits in there, and when that raspberry juice comes bubbling over, you've got it done. So the raspberry pie with a vanilla bean ice cream was one of our great desserts over the years. So instead of a tart, maybe a pie. The tarts are nice, but maybe the pie, if you just like raspberry, you could go for that. And of course, you could do the same thing if you used fresh raspberries. I would just sugar them first. The sugar will draw the juice out. Then you can strain that juice and thicken that, and then fold the raspberries back in and have a nice pie. So the hour's done. We got to sign off. Hope everybody has a great weekend next weekend. If you're having brunch or dinner at home, you know, cook a little leg of lamb day on the 7th. Maybe do a little leg of lamb. I'm going to do rack of pork at the restaurant. It's always a nice meal, the alternative to steak or prime rib. And have a great week. Chef Bill signing off.